Welcome back to Shifas Yud Aleph Amud Beis. So we're here in the Gemara, and we're talking. If we said the pshat of what does it mean that you don't learn Arayas, so it's Ein Dorshin B'Sisrei Arayas. What we meant was you don't expound on the details of the hidden details of Arayas. So we saw two versions of what's the pshat there. By the way, either it's the very detailed aspects of Arayas that are not so obvious, or maybe there's like esoteric underpinnings behind it. So what's the reason why you can't? My time as far. It's simple logic. When you have two students sitting before the teacher, so what usually happens is chad shakil v'tari b'hadei rabbe. One, you know, goes back and forth with his teacher about a certain topic. V'idach matzli udne lagamra, while the other one listens into the discussion, like watching the volley between the Rebbe and the student. And therefore, because of that, both students are going to hear what the teacher has to say. Tlosa, but if there's three students, chad shakil v'tari b'hadei rabbe, one goes back and forth with his teacher, v'hanich trei shaklu v'taru b'hadei, while these other two have a conversation with each other. So the Rebbe and the students start going back and forth. They don't want to listen to what this one guy says, so they're having a conversation with each other, and they're not going to hear the Rebbe. Velo yada mai kamai rebeo, and they're not going to know what their teacher is saying. Va'atu lemishrei isura be'arayas, and because of that ignorance, they're going to come to permit something which should have been usur. They're going to make it mutter. They're going to think that they finished everything, but they didn't. They were talking in the middle of shir, because the Rebbe and him were going back and forth for an hour. They had their own. They said, we'll finish on our own. So then, if that's the case, Ihachi, this should be true for Kol HaTorah Kula. Why do you make this only about Arayas? This same problem could happen whether you're learning Hilchas Arayas, whether you're learning the laws of how to make Schach. Why do you limit this to Arayas? It could be anywhere. So we say Arayas Shiny. The nature of the forbidden relationships are different. The Amar Mar, because the master said, Gezel v'Arayas nafsho machtamasa metavalehem. Theft and Arayas are things that a person is looking for a way around. The heart desires it. And therefore, unless something is laid out clearly, a person wants to try to find some loophole to permit what they're going to do. And therefore, by not listening, they're going to be able to find a way around. Nobody wants to find the loophole in, what's it called? Nobody wants to find the loophole in a basic nice mitzvah. I don't know. Tzitzis. No one tries to find the way out of tzitzis. How do I not fulfill tzitzis? You do tzitzis. You want to do tzitzis right. But these types of things are things that... They don't wear Dali Kamfos. But I don't think, I think most people go out, it is the good example, because most people, it's the mitzvah example where people go out of their way to mechayev themselves. They weren't in the mechayev themselves. You had the loophole, and you looked for not a way out. But I hear. But again, I was thinking sukkah, but I'm saying, yeah, people always look that I could use this wall for that, and this one maybe that. But you want to do it kosher, that's why you're asking this wall for that. But here, you're trying to find a way out. You're trying to find a way out, and that's a different story. Siyachi Gezel Nami. So if that's true, then yeah. What about Gezel? Our Mishnah doesn't mention Gezel, and the same problem exists by Gezel, that a person wants to find a loophole out, you know, a shtick. So, Arayas ben Bafonov ben Shalo Bafonov Nafshi Yatzrei. The difference in Arayas is, with forbidden unions, the urges are great, whether the erva that one is interested in is in front of the person or not, right? Gozel b'fonav nafshei tzrei. Gezel, a person only gets excited about the option of doing gezel when it's right in front of a person. Shalo b'fonav lo nafshei tzrei. But when it's not in front of them, the urges are therefore not that intense. And therefore, there is a more compelling reason to make sure that a person has the laws of Arayas clear in their mind. And therefore, the rule against teaching three students applies to Arayas, but not to another area.
Also, Ervas could destroy not only the individuals, but other people. It could destroy Judaism.
You're saying it leaves damage that can't be repaired. Stealing, maybe I can give back. The person will make it another way. This leaves something that can't be repaired. Interesting. Okay. Yeah. The Gemara now quotes the next part of the Mishnah. Velo Maisa Bracious Bishnayim. You're not supposed to teach Maisa Bracious Bishnayim in front of two. what you're going to have now for a while is the Gemara takes for about 4.5 blot. The Gemara is going to give many Agadata teachings on Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava. It's like as though the Mishnah said, you know, we're not supposed to learn these things. What's below, what's before, what's after. But let's do it for 4.5 blot. You know, it's very, very Gemara-like. You know, so Maisa Bracious, just to give a background, usually means the reckoning of creation, and Maisa Merkava usually means the, you know, account of the chariot and Sefer Yecheskel. Now, Bracious and Maisa Merkava, they both pertain to a certain vision of that Hashem, let's say, for example, Maisa Merkava, that happened in the first parak of Yecheskel. There was a certain Mari Yecheskel, and it describes four angelic beings bearing a throne that is a vehicle for God's glory. And in our Mishnah's usage, Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava are the names of Brises that discussed it. When we say you cannot discuss the Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bracious, it's talking about extensive Brises that went into detail about it. You know, I'm allowed to learn that chapter in Yecheskel with the commentaries, Radak, Svorno. I'm allowed to. It was talking about the Brises that people went into depth about this. There's other ways of understanding it. The Rambam understood that Maisa Bracious is the wisdom of the natural world. Maisa Merkava is the wisdom of the metaphysical world. Rambam held that these topics referred to classic philosophy subjects. And that's what the rabbis were nervous about you studying. You know, that led to a huge machlokas in the lifetime of the Yad Ramah and others over the Rambam. The most widely accepted opinion is that Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava refer to a hidden wisdom of Kabbalah. That's what it's referring to. The Ben Yoyada quotes a definition of Maisa Bracious and Maisa Merkava from their Rizal, but the explanation would demand a certain level of knowledge of Kabbalah, to really a high level of Kabbalah mysticism to understand it. So there are tons of, there are over, you know, thousands of works of Kabbalah that have been printed. So how could you say that this is referring to an Isser of studying Kabbalah? So Rav Tzadik deals with this. How could they have ignored what the Mishnah said? So Rav Tzadik says the Rishonim were very cautious in what they wrote, but he says you have to find an explanation. You have to find the Limud Zchus. And Rav Tzadik says that you could write down your vision of the Maisa Merkava because it's going to be gibberish to somebody anymore. It doesn't make a difference. And it's also to write Maisa Bracious because the source of the Isser is that two or more students cannot ask their teacher. They're not going to be able to ask the teacher about it. So when a person reads a book or listens to a lecture, though, he's not asking any questions, right? He's not. As a result, therefore, it would be mutter, meaning the sefer just has the information there written down. It's hard to, Rav Tzadik is saying it's hard for, you know, things to go wrong there as opposed to in a lecture. Lecture, you know, people ask the questions, the way people say things, the way people, the tone they say it in. You really could bludge something.
When you're learning it by yourself, when you're learning the Brisa.
Yeah.
The understanding is not the same as if you ever
read. Yeah, listen, the Bala Tanya opens up the Tanya's introduction saying that the Sefer is like a Rebbe. It's all written out and you can keep coming back. You could try to re-understand it. That nowadays people don't have access to go to Shirim all the time. But they can open up the Sefer and they could see what it has to say. So it's hard to understand, Rav Tzadik, what would be the difference between a speaker and a written word. But we also have another concept in the Gemara, right? Eis lasos l'Hashem heferu torasecha, the Pasuk says. That sometimes something has to be done to be able to uphold Judaism. And I think even if you understand Maisa Bracious, Maisa Merkava is Kabbalistic ideas, the Baal Shem Tov already addressed this with his mashal, the parable of the king crushing up the stone from his crown. How could you crush the stone from your crown and give it to your son? He said, the son was not going to live. What use is my crown if I don't have a someone to take over after me? So it could be that it was from the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, was initially not permitted, but over time there was a need to be able to delve into deeper subjects. That could be possible. Or you could say like the Rambam, it was talking about philosophy and some of those things we don't get into. Okay, let's stop there for today.